Again, everyone. You know, it was nice to hear what Billy and Rita were both saying, because in this week, I mean, you know, probably don't realize, you know, but on a weekly basis, I question whether I should be a leader of a church. I question all the things that people pray, and I value your prayers very much. And I listen to prayers in the prayer meeting, and I think, oh my goodness, and I cringe. But, you know, I question on a weekly basis, Lord. And I was saying to someone, I think, during the week, that I remember coming in here way at the start nearly 20 years ago. And for 2 years, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, weeping and saying, oh Lord, you've made a mistake. I'm not the person to do this. I just don't weep anymore, I still say. I still say 20 years later, Lord, you've made a mistake. I'm not the person to do this. And then this week, you know, I just said, Lord, I struggle with this. I really struggle with this. But, you know, to hear this morning just something that confirms something for me that, you know, God's love for us is unchanging. Even though he knows all our ways, his love is unchanging. But that still makes me feel, Lord, you know, I need you to strip away from my things, the things that my life that don't, the things that don't glorify you, so that I can serve you more effectively and more faithfully. And I don't know how he will do that, but that's over to God. But it was just so nice this morning and refreshing to hear that and to be able to praise and worship the Lord and say, you know what, Lord, it's not about us. As people said, it's about God. It's about the glory of God. Anyway, let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this morning that you would speak to us again through your living and active word. Your word is powerful, Lord God, and it can totally transform lives and circumstances. And those who believe it know it, Lord God, because we, Lord God, have seen it working in our lives and continue to see it working in our lives. We see it working, Lord God, in other people's lives and circumstances. We see it in answered prayer, Lord God, for people that we have been bringing before you. Your word works, and we just ask that the working of your word, Lord God, would change our lives today, that it would really speak to us, Lord, please, that the Holy Spirit would bring it to each of us, Lord God, to a particular need in our lives. Whether we're here in Shiloh, whether we're watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast, your word knows, Lord God, where we're at. And we just pray that it would speak into our circumstances, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been learning how the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I'm going to say this again. I'm sure people are sick to death of me using the full term, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. There are people who believe in a resurrection of Jesus from the dead, just not bodily. We're emphasizing bodily. So we've been learning how the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is as essential towards salvation as his death on the cross is. You cannot separate the two. You could have Jesus dying on a cross, but it's as much use to us as a chocolate teapot if Jesus wasn't raised again from the dead. It's vital for us. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, there wasn't much sense Jesus going to the cross. So that's how essential it is toward our salvation. This truth was at the heart of Paul's gospel, which he proclaimed, and it had to be at the heart, because there is no point in believing the gospel and no hope in Christianity if you reject the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And I would say to people here or people who are on Facebook or listening to the podcast, if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus, you're wasting your time being here this morning. You're wasting your time listening in or watching in this morning. Switch off and go and make yourself a cup of tea, because you're just wasting your time. What the Bible says is, if there is no resurrection of Jesus from the dead, then there's no resurrection for anyone from the dead. And we, the Christians, are the most pitiable people on God's earth. So I don't want you to waste your time. If you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, feel free to leave Shiloh and feel free to switch off Facebook or switch off the podcast, because we don't want to waste your time. However, some people consider Christians to be fools for believing in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And yet, what are the options? What other options are available to us? One, there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection of Jesus, as I said, then there is no resurrection for anyone. And those who have died believing in a resurrection have actually perished. And everybody who dies is going to perish. That's one option. The other option is, well, actually, there is no life after death. When you pop your clogs, that's the party over. And if that's the case, get out there and party your life away right now. Get out there and celebrate life. Do whatever you want to do. Eat, drink, and be merry, because there's no life after death. Or there's no heaven or no hell. That's the other option. Sound a bit like John Lennon here singing there is no heaven and there is no hell. You know, imagine. But I can't imagine it because I know God's word is true, and God's word tells me there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is life after death. There is a resurrection of all people unto the day of judgment. Those who are in Christ enter into the presence of the Lord. Those who are not, to be separated from God forever. When we die, we die. Are Christians fools to believe something different? The New Scientist magazine, I was saying last week, in its explosive guide to the end of the universe, it told us that our sun will swell, our galaxy will collide with its neighbour, and the universe could suddenly be swallowed by a vacuum bubble. Do you ever notice how often when scientists are talking about, you know, the world and coming to an end and creation, how things all happened, it's always could have, may have, might have, we are not sure. God's word doesn't say, well, it could have happened. God might have said, let there be light. Doesn't say that. God's word's absolutely clear. Scientists aren't. So our world, our universe could suddenly be swallowed by a vacuum bubble, and that will be the end. But which of these require more faith to believe? The New Scientist magazine, explosive guide to the end of the universe, or the word of God that says, there is a day of resurrection for all people, some to eternal life with the Lord, while others to eternal separation from God in hell. Now, the reason this was at the heart of Paul's preaching is by the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, mankind's three greatest enemies were defeated. Satan, sin, and death have been defeated. It's not something that's going to happen away up ahead. They have been defeated by the death and bodily resurrection of Jesus. This is why Christians cannot allow this truth to be diluted, polluted, or compromised. To do so would be to lose the truth of the victory in Christ into which that we have been born again by the Spirit of God, and it would mean preaching a different gospel than that which the Word of God teaches, thus leading people into a false hope. Christians believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's turn this morning, please, to 1 Peter. And I'm going to read from chapter 1, the first 9 verses. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And Peter writes this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me just mention here, did you notice the Godhead? Notice the Godhead here in what Peter's saying? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God already knew. The Father already knew. In sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is given to the believers to sanctify us, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I was laughing about this, and Cyril Glass isn't allowed to answer this question because we all know how stupid Cyril was on this one, and we'll not bring it up. We'll not bring it up again, but he'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever gone to pay your respects to a dead person? Cyril's never going to be allowed to live this down, but we'll not even go there about. Do you ever hear that story, Kathy? Oh, well, then I have to tell it again. There are people here who didn't realize Cyril one time went to pay respects to a dead friend, lying out in state, and going in quietly there in the wee room at night time, I think it was, body lying there, and he says, "You know, Lord, your word says that we can raise people from the dead." And Cyril says, "So I'm just going to give it a go." And he says, "Lord, I command so-and-so to come back to life in Jesus' name." And it didn't happen, but Cyril says, if he had opened his eyes, he says, "I'd have been out that door like a shot." And what I said to Cyril is, what you don't realize is the funeral directors have small cameras in there watching and listening to what's going on in case anybody tries to in any way defile the dead. And I'm sure they must have giggled to themselves at Cyril going, "I command in the name of Jesus that you come back." But you know what? At least he believes God's word. At least he believes God's word. So that's the desire of my heart indeed. I want to see people raised from the dead. Absolutely. So think about this morning. Have you ever gone to pay your respects to a dead person? And there they are, they're lying in state, and you go in, and you sort of, you know, I don't know if you do it, but I have to do it all the time, right? But there they are, lying in state, and you go in, and you sort of bow your head, and, you know, you maybe offer a wee silent prayer or something, you know, it's a bit awkward, especially with other people, you don't really know what to do. But I don't know if you've ever noticed, and I've said this before, but have you ever noticed the stupid things that people say when you go in to pay your respects to a dead person? "Oh God, he's looking really well." know, Have you ever heard it? "I've never seen him looking so good." This is true, honestly. When my dad died, people came to pay their respects. And I remember a friend of mine coming in and doing the thing, you know, on the arms and all, and they had calmly, and they looked at my dad in the coffin, and then they looked at me, and then they looked at my dad in the coffin, and then they looked at me and said, "God, Taddy, you look awful like your dad." And I thought, I'm a walking corpse. But people say the most stupid things. I remember the guys, honestly, came to our house with the flowers, you know, the wreaths. And knocked, "Is this where a dead man lives?" "Hello? Is this where the dead man lives?" In John chapter 11, and don't turn to it. In John chapter 11, you can read about Jesus raising his friend Lazarus back from the dead after Lazarus was dead 4 days. And as Rita says, you know, that's my heart's desire is to see someone raised from the dead in my lifetime. But I don't want somebody who's just popped their clogs or in a wee bit of, you know, CPR will bring them back. I want someone like John the Baptist where it says, "Behold, he stinketh." He's been dead 4 days. I want somebody that's been dead for a while and see the power of God raising them back to life. Because I believe, like Cyril, God's word is God's word and it's true and he can do these things. So Jesus raised his friend Lazarus back from the dead. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, you can read the account of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter back from the dead. Also in Luke's gospel, you can read how Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son back to life. Do you remember he was being carried out and Jesus walked up to it, stopped the funeral procession and says, "Young man, arise." And the dead guy came back to life. So you've got Lazarus being raised from the dead. You've got Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead. And you've got the widow of Nain's son being raised back to life by Jesus. Here were three dead people at some point, to some degree, I suppose, lying in state. And I wonder, did anybody say anything like, "Oh, he or she looking well? I've never seen them looking so good." Yet Jesus brought back from the dead not only Lazarus, not only Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, But if you read the Gospels, you will find that when Jesus died on the cross, some saints, some righteous, some holy people who had died were also at that point, when Jesus breathed his last, they were at that point resurrected back from the dead, and they came out of the tombs and went throughout Jerusalem, and everybody saw them. So we're not just talking about three people here. Many people, we're told, came out of the tombs of the righteous who had died. But here's the point that I want to make this morning. The resurrection of all of these people was not to immortality. And this is so important that you see this morning. The resurrection of all of these people was not to immortality, as they would all still be subject to the aging process, to sickness and disease. If they were raised to immortality, we could go to conference centers and listen to Lazarus talking about how he's still alive today and what God has done. If they were raised to immortality, Jairus' daughter would be telling us all about the sickness that she had. We could go to hear the testimonies of the widow of Nain's son if they were raised to immortality. But none of these people were raised back from the dead to immortality. They were still subject to the aging process, to sickness and disease, and they would eventually die again. The resurrection of all of these people was not like the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It was different. But what Jesus was showing is that he is the Lord of life, that he has authority over death, and that he could command people to come back to life. He was showing this, but he brought them back to life on this earth physically. It was not like the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When Jesus was born to his mum Mary, he was born with a body just like ours. It was subject to all of the limitations that we experience. We have this wee thing in our heads about Jesus, you know, that he's almost like in this cotton wool world where he's completely different to us. But he was born with the same type of body as you and I have. He was subject to all of the limitations that we experience. For example, he got tired. He aged. He was a wee baby and he grew up until about 33 years of age when he was killed. He was hungry. He was thirsty, and he could even die. He had all the limitations that you and I experience. And in the Garden of Eden, for example, we're told that Jesus suffered great emotional and mental anguish, that his sweat dropped, as it were, like blood, drops of blood to the ground. At the hands of the Romans, he was beaten and scourged. He was crucified. Jesus experienced physical pain in his body as you and I experience it. When he died on the cross, he died physically as you and I may one day experience. But on the third day, when Jesus was raised again from the dead, he had a new, transformed, physical, and yet immortal, incorruptible body. It was a different body. He was still the same Jesus, but his body was different. It was immortal, and it could not suffer or die again. I wonder, when you think about the death and resurrection of Jesus, do you actually think like this? Do you think it was the same Jesus who was crucified, was the same Jesus who rose again? It can't be. It can't be. The truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is at the heart of the gospel for another reason. Christians, those who have faith in Jesus, are born again by the Holy Spirit, according to what the Apostle Peter says. We are born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We are born again by the Holy Spirit into an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for us in heaven. God promises to keep, to preserve and protect born again Christians by his power through all of our trials, as our faith is tested and proved genuine, until we receive the goal of our faith, the salvation of our soul. What does that mean? What does the salvation of your soul mean? I know that I don't want to be a holy spook dancing about heaven. I don't want to be a ghost in heaven. I don't know what you want to be. What does the salvation of your soul mean? Well, let me tell you what I believe it means. And Peter is telling us here that the end of our faith, everything that we believe, is for the salvation of our souls. What does that actually mean? Well, this salvation of our souls will be a new, transformed, physical bodies, which will be immortal and incorruptible, and like Jesus' body, it won't be able to suffer or die again. So do you understand? Let me try to put it to you this way. At the moment, if I could do this, and God, if it was possible to do this, and I brought one of you up here and cracked you with a hatchet on the head, and you split open down the two, and you could, with the eyes, see the soul leaving or the spirit leaving, right? So the minute that person has popped their clogs, the spirit leaves. And if you're a Christian, it goes to be with the Lord, because we know absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, cracked open, you go to a place of waiting. The next thing you will know is the day of judgment. Now, you can see that, I'm imagining here, right, that you can see that spirit leaving, that soul leaving. That is not how you are going to be for eternity. Just like Jesus was raised back from the dead in a new immortal, incorruptible body that could never suffer or die again, so Christian, you too will be reunited, your soul will be reunited, your spirit reunited with a new physical, incorruptible, immortal body that cannot suffer or ever die again. And now you see the difference between the raising of Lazarus and the widow of Nain's son and Jairus' daughter and all of those other people. They were raised back to a physical body. But when we are being resurrected, it will not be to a physical body, only it will be a physical yet immortal, incorruptible body that can never suffer or die again. The return of Jesus for his people is the Christian's blessed hope, the promise, the confident expectation of physical resurrection from the dead is the Christian's living hope. That's what Peter calls it, the living hope. We will be raised again from the dead in new physical, immortal bodies. The author and theologian Wayne Grudem says, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead ensures..." Hear that, right? It ensures, it guarantees regeneration for everyone who believes. Every person, no matter who they are or what they have done, every person who confesses their sin, repents, and believes in Jesus shall be born again by the Holy Spirit. We believe that. That's why we talk to people about Jesus. We believe that if we talk to people about Jesus and they believe it, that they can be born again and be brought into God's kingdom and they are saved. The Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to their mortal bodies also. They will be born again. They will experience what's called regeneration. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us life now, and he will resurrect us to eternal life in the future. It's his job to do this. It is the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus back from the dead. And who do Christians have living within them? The Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who will raise us back from the dead at the last trump. Wayne Grudem also says, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead ensures justification for every believer. Those who have faith in Jesus, in God's sight, they are justified." Justified, never sinned. They are justified in God's sight. All of our sins are forgiven. The debt for our sin, past, present, and future, has been paid in full. The bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead ensures sanctification of everyone who believes. You cannot sanctify yourself. You cannot make yourself more holy. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. And God gives the Holy Spirit to those who believe, and He is the one who sanctifies us. All who trust in Jesus are given the Holy Spirit to dwell within them, to sanctify us, and to make us holy. Grudem also says, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead ensures every born-again Christian of their eventual bodily resurrection. Do you understand now why it is so important? The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead ensures that you too, Christian, will be bodily raised again from the dead. Jesus said, whoever, he doesn't put anything else on it, whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. Finally, the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead ensures the glorification of every believer. All who follow Jesus have a confident expectation that just as He has been glorified and is seated at God's right hand in heaven, so too shall we be glorified and enter into heaven. Now, I want any Christian who could do this for me this morning, any Christian who could get the Holy Spirit to jump out of you right now. Anybody here could do that for me? Anybody prepared to ask the Holy Spirit, leave my body, I don't want you in me anymore? Is it possible? Is it possible even to do that? That's right, Nolene. It's not possible. So what does that tell you this morning? It tells you this morning that because, Christian, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you are absolutely assured regeneration. You could not be born again unless the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. You have regeneration. You've been born again. You have been justified in God's sight. It is just as if you had never sinned as far as God is concerned. You have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. You therefore are guaranteed that you will be resurrected to a new physical yet immortal, incorruptible body that can never suffer again and can never die again. And you are guaranteed that you will be glorified, which is why we sing about seeing Jesus face to face, because we will be glorified. Now, Christian, do you understand why the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is as essential towards salvation as His death on the cross is? And this is why we can't allow this truth to be diluted, polluted, or compromised. To dilute, pollute, or compromise the truth of the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead would be to lose the truth of our victory in Christ, into which we have been born again by the Spirit of God, a victory that promises us with God's unmistakable, unquestionable assurance, promises us regeneration. He's ticked that box. Justification. He's ticked that box. Sanctification, He's ticked that box. Resurrection from the dead, He's ticked that box. Because He's already told us, whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. He's ticked the box of resurrection and glorification. He's ticked the box. You might not feel like you've been glorified this morning. You might not feel like, you know, you're free from all of the curse of Satan, sin, and death. But the Bible says it's as if you're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. God has promised you this morning, Christian, that you have been born again by His Holy Spirit. You have been justified. There is no debt for your sin required from God for your sins. You have been sanctified and are being sanctified. In God's eyes, you're guaranteed that you're going to be resurrected unto life. glorification, you will see Jesus face to face because you will be with him. And so when we at Shiloh confess in our statement of faith that we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it means we value this truth and the promises contained within it. You see, Christian, one day soon we will experience the full salvation of our souls in a new, transformed, physical body which will be immortal and incorruptible. And God, I hope people says, God, he's looking well. I hope people say, I've never seen him looking so good. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. One day soon, Christian, we will have our new transformed physical body, which will be immortal and incorruptible. And just like Jesus' body, we'll never be able to suffer or die again. Until then, let's purpose in our hearts to hold fast to the truth of God's word and declare that we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Maybe this morning there's someone here or someone watching on Facebook or listening to the podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, let me also tell you, there is a day of resurrection for you when you too shall receive a new, immortal, incorruptible body which can never die. But the truth is, unless you confess your sin, unless you repent from your sin, turn around and turn away from your sin and trust in Jesus, you shall be raised up in your new resurrected body, but you shall be cast into hell, where you shall be separated from God for all eternity in a body which can never die. But God this morning offers you salvation through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you accept his offer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you again for your word. And we declare in Shiloh Christian Fellowship that we believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We believe it, Lord God, because not to believe it makes us pitiable people. It makes us, Lord God, believe a false gospel. And therefore, Lord, we would reap a false salvation. But because Jesus, your beloved Son, has been raised again from the dead, those who believe in him are promised that we too shall be raised again from the dead, that we shall be united with a new, resurrected, physical, immortal, incorruptible body that can neither suffer or ever die again. And Lord, in that body, what a glorious day when we shall see you face to face, when we shall experience the truth of your word and understand the fullness of our glorification. Lord, we thank you. Until that day, Lord, may you help us to walk in the truth of your word, that we are born again by the Spirit of the living God, that we are justified in the sight of our God and King, that we are sanctified and are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit who works within us, that we are promised a day of resurrection. Even, Lord God, though we may have to be laid in a grave, we're promised a day of resurrection, and we know that we shall be glorified when we see Jesus face to face. Lord, help us to walk in this truth, not to pollute your word, not to dilute your word, not in any way, Lord God, to compromise it, but to hold fast to it, because your word is truth, and your truth sets captives free. We pray this morning for anyone, Lord God, who is not yet a Christian. Lord, they're hoping for heaven, but their hope is based on wishful thinking if they haven't, Lord, trusted in Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that they would recognize that they're not going to have to stand before God on the day of judgment as ghosts, but they too will be raised up in new immortal physical bodies, Lord God. And they will be cast into hell, to a place, Lord God, of torment, in a body that can never die. And for all eternity, Lord God, be reminded of the opportunities missed. Lord, have mercy upon their souls. grant by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would convict them of their sin, convince them of the truth of your word, and bring them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, that they too may be able to take a hold of the promise that is, whoever believes in me, Jesus said, even though they die, yet shall they live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.